On tonight's 200th episode, Gardening with a Ghost, Warren Buffett, Greta Von Fleet, and YouTube searches.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
So you've been gardening, have you?
Yes, I have been.
By the way, you know, this is our 200th episode.
It is. Happy 200, baby.
Happy 200. It's been a while. I think it's been since 2014.
Wow.
It's fun, right?
It is. This has been a journey. We're gonna go back and listen to all these episodes one of these days, and it's going to be a diary of our lives together.
Someday when we're 90 years old, we're sitting around listening to all these thoughts we had back then on random goofy subjects.
We were such jackasses.
We had a cat named Chairman Meow, for God's sakes.
Oh, I'll cry. I'll cry so much. Because she won't be with us.
We've already lost Mrs. Wiggles.
Yes, yes. Oh, we could like go back and relive some of that on, because we were podcasting when she was around.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But anyhow, you've been gardening.
Yes.
With a buddy.
I've been gardening with Kenny the Ghost.
Yeah, it's funny. We were watching. I love watching YouTube videos on like ghosts caught on camera and all this. I'm fully aware that it's probably all fakey bullshit, but I don't know. It's entertaining to me. So,
well, all right. Let me fill in some background on this, so I can. All right, I inherited something called a tower garden. I can't talk tonight.
Great. Tower
garden. Garden from my dad. And the only place to set it up is the floor above us in our building, which is deserted.
And haunted.
And has a ghost.
From loft to, we have tours that come through sometime, our town. We live in a historic old building.
Yeah.
And so we have some... I don't know. It's a novelty thing in our town to have little loft tours and tours of old buildings.
I love to look in these buildings.
Ghost tours.
Yes.
And that floor just always, it lights up like a damn pinball machine.
Well, and all right, you've had,
we've
talked about it in the past. The door of the cabinet shut and the flashlight went off.
Like I said, now that there is some of that.
And you had the medium freak out on that floor and run away. When she saw the doll. So.
Oh, yeah. She just turned right around.
She was like, nope, I'm out, guys.
And for what it's worth, I suppose I could have been. These local paranormal investigator guys, I guess they could have had some remote control thing on that flashlight, I suppose, but that's far fetched. It looked to me like just a regular old flashlight, just to relive this story.
Even think of that.
I mean, I suppose it's possible.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw that with my own eyes. The tour group that I took through, they put a flashlight that was on on a counter and started, you know, talking to this ghost, spirit, whatever you want. Yeah. You know, if you're here, whatever you are, if you can manipulate this flashlight, do something to prove you're here. And by hell, that flashlight turned off. And nobody was touching it. It was laying there. Nobody was
on the counter,
it.
And I'm back there working in the same dang room.
Yep. So I didn't fake it, unless they just tricked me, and there was some remote control. I mean, anything's possible. But again, these are local yokel hillbilly paranormal people like us that go to work at the local.
Yeah.
Factories, and I just can't imagine they did that.
I didn't.
I saw the flashlight.
They're so down to earth, I wouldn't even. It never crossed my mind that they would even do that.
Well, I've thought about it just because that's a pretty trippy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that. And I saw the flashlight.
I didn't. But, all right, so I've been up here working. Yeah. And first I had to clean because this floor was half demoed and there's dust and dirt and stuff everywhere. And I'm delicate. I had to clean. Cleaned up, got everything up there. I'm working on this hydroponic system and I'm loving it. It is spooky as hell though. You know, I won't really go up there after dark without you or without, like, you have to come get me if I'm not right back. Because I've been, like, monkeying around with timers, going on and off with pumps and lights and all this goofy stuff.
Well, yeah, you make it so you have to go up there at midnight.
I know, but it gets too hot because it's not air conditioned.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep it, you know, optimum for the plants. But this has just been really interesting because when I first started working up there, I was like, okay, Kenny, I'm going to be in and out a lot now. Don't scare me.
That's
it
good.
It'd really upset me if you scared me. We're just going to get along here and we're not going to bother each other. And every time I go up there, I'm like, hey, Kenny. And when I leave, I'm like, see you later, Kenny. Now, I have not had anything like misplaced or moved or anything big, like nothing like that.
Okay.
But I drag my phone around and listen to Pandora a lot. And if I come downstairs, if I've got it sitting on a shelf,
yep,
or anywhere upstairs, if I come downstairs and get a glass of water, grab something to eat, if I'm gone for 5-10 minutes, it's always paused. It's always paused.
And obviously it doesn't do that regularly.
Any other time. You can leave it on the floor down here and just let it play forever.
See, I think Kenny's being helpful.
I think he is too. That is the only, and that is weird for me because I always want proof of something. And that's kind of enough. I'm like, Kenny, that's good enough. I know you're here.
Yeah. Let's put some video cameras up there, see if we can catch him.
No, let's not. No, please, no. Please, I would lose my mind if I saw something.
Come on, that'd be awesome.
I'm up there alone hours at a time. No,
he's helping you out.
Hank, no.
He's helping you out.
I've had enough. He knows I've had enough. And he we get along fine.
Well, someday I'd love to.
I know you would. You just don't tell me about it.
I just want to run 24/7. Just set a camera there and just let it run. Just
there's
to
Pedro
see.
Scratching her ass.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a ghost. It does seem harmless.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been getting along with him just fine.
Well, good for old Kenny.
Yep.
Well, so, that's a good little rabbit hole search if anybody's interested in that. I tell you that if you're on YouTube, just check out this ghost caught on camera. There's top fives, top tens, and there's some pretty trippy shit out there.
Yeah.
Fake or not, and some of it, if it is fake, it's damn
so well done,
elaborate.
You just have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with the, again, you just never know, though. I mean, no matter how real it looks, I mean, we know now with all the special effects and this people in general, even if you see something with multiple cameras, because some of them will be that.
Yeah.
It'll be like multiple cameras from a city intersection and multiple cameras catching the same thing that they claim is from, like, I don't know, like the city of Toronto camera system.
Oh, wow.
And how do you know if it is or not? You don't know. If it is, it's trippy as hell, some of the shit they catch.
Yeah.
If it's not,
we watched
then
a whole
whatever.
Documentary. Was that last night or night before? It was this weekend.
The documentary on?
Like a guy made a documentary on hauntings and ghost videos.
That was fake.
It was fun though. It was so fun.
That was a Paranormal Activity.
It was about an hour
video.
Long. Yeah.
Yeah, about an hour, about the right amount.
Yeah.
That was on Amazon Prime. That was one of your
shows. Yeah, we started,
and the dude was from Kentucky. Dude was from Lexington.
Yeah.
That's what made it. It was pretty funny, entertaining, I thought.
I want to lead in on that.
Please.
Because I've been gardening so much. I finally got my terrarium together, my carnivorous plant terrarium. Yes, I am Morticia Adams.
You're
or
carnivorous?
Poison ivy or something.
You growing a little shop of horror?
I am. I've got
plant over there.
I've got sundews and pitcher plants and Venus flytraps. I had too many in a 1 gallon terrarium, and now I've got a 20 gallon terrarium just all nice and spread out, and they've got plenty of room to grow. They take a long time to grow. They're slow growers, but that's going to be really pretty.
The Venus flytraps are smaller than I thought they would be.
They get bigger eventually.
How big do they get?
Full
size. They don't get as big as your hand, obviously.
Oh, no, the Venus, the traps themselves?
Yeah, right, the little...
Oh, maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches, like a really big, full adult
inch
plant.
Inch and a half.
Yeah.
Okay, like, big as your thumb.
Maybe, less than your thumb. Less than your thumb, your knuckle.
Well...
Right there. But they're neat. I enjoy my plants.
Your carnivorous ones?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good hobby. You like to grow things. You're having a good time with it.
I know. And you're so patient. You just let me. And I have to garden and stuff like terrariums to keep Chairman Meow out because I brought in a little tiny rose plant. She's already trying to take a chomp of it.
Oh, well. I think it's fun. Aww, and you are like Morticia Adams with that stuff. That's what she grew, right?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, I saw her chopping off the heads of the roses and growing the thorns.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I just remember the ivy thing that would wrap around everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That show was awesome ahead of its time in a way.
Best show ever, wasn't it?
The gags kind of got old because, I mean, every show was the same gags. But for a few shows, that's pretty damn creative to have a... And I don't know which one came first, it or the Munsters. Whichever one of those came first to make a comedy out of basically horror stuff. Is that the first horror comedy kind of?
It might be.
At least on a TV show.
Correct me, listeners, if I'm wrong, but I believe I read years ago that the Addams Family was based on a comic.
A comic book?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
But think about how awesome Morticia and Gomez were as a couple. I mean, they never, you know how it's always the Archie Bunker, like they hate each other comedy trope, like husband and wife,
right?
They are supposed to hate each other
on
television.
That was a shtick back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But they weren't like that at all. They were great.
They were. That's, you know, and as I'm saying this out loud, I know there were movies like Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. So there were comedy horror, but I just wonder which one. Well, I wonder what the first one was to think of that.
Like, how can we make this funny?
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, it's pretty damn creative.
Yeah.
I'm all with you on that. I was sitting around yesterday just fixed on a financial show. I was watching it like somebody would watch the NBA finals or something.
Yeah, you were more intense than somebody watching a basketball game.
I'm so glad that was on. I really wanted to make a trek to it. It was the Berkshire Hathaway annual shareholder meeting, which, God, I know everybody out there is hitting the snooze button, but I mean, I like finances. I've always liked financial stuff.
Yeah.
I've decided for sure I'm going to get some more financial books that are a little more in depth and in. More than just on the surface, what we do.
Yeah.
We do real estate investment, and we're very good at it, frankly. Not to toot our own horn, but we are. But I want to delve in a little deeper into, like, how would you form a whole, not just a corporation? I'm talking, like, take something public and in a, you know, sell stocks on stock markets. Like, how in the world would you start to do that? You know, it would be just like any other thing that we've done. It would be piece by piece, step by step. There's obviously, it's obviously possible to do. People do it.
Yeah.
I just wonder, just for our own curiosity, that we may never do that, but
I'm over here going, oh, God, what are we incorporating and becoming a mega corporation on?
Well, you know, I've read, and as far as I'd say one of my, you know, idols or somebody I really look up to who I don't know or never met.
Yes.
That kind of a situation. Yeah, some people have their LeBron James and,
and
Michael
absolutely.
Jordan or whoever your, again,
kind
idol or mentor.
Living idol.
Something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Warren Buffett to me.
Yes.
I've read books. I know his biography a lot. And this annual meeting is in Nebraska. I'd love to go to it someday. I don't know how much longer he's going to be alive, but I would love it.
Yes.
The pictures from it, he's in some venue. There's 40,000 people there listening to him and Charlie Munger.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Munger's a 94-year-old dude. And,
and I love him.
God, he is funny. And there's never been a more blunt, smart dude. God, I love that dude.
All right, here's the quote. Somebody else is trading turds and you want some.
Yeah, that's what he thought. He said about Bitcoin, basically. Yeah. Somebody else is trading turds, so you want in on it, basically. Or something like that. Fact, yeah.
I cried. I curled up in a ball, dying, like, because seeing somebody that was like older, and he's sitting there and he's visibly older than my grandpa was.
Yeah.
He's old. And he said that.
Just.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. He's definitely the blunt, funny, but. Man, and the wisdom that these guys have, the integrity, again, unless there's something that happens that comes out that I can't imagine.
No, I mean, I can't either.
The amount of integrity and honesty and the things that they have done throughout their lives just seems to be something that anybody could learn a lot from.
Yeah.
And still end up being literally, depending upon the where the stock market is at any one time, literally the richest man in the fucking world.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be an honest, good guy, making it, you know.
And trying to help other people make it, too.
Oh.
That's what impresses me. He is not in this win-lose.
No.
At all. This is someone who's like, hey, we can all do this.
Right. So. And we've talked about before, like, again, I don't know his exact wealth at any one time, but let's just say it's $300 billion. And it is in that range. It's in the billions.
Yeah.
He's going to leave 99% of that to charity. Wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
There's going to be $250 billion goes to the Gates Foundation, who that's his real good friend, is Bill Gates, that they've come up with this organization and have gotten other, they call it some, I don't know, there's some phrase for it, but some pledge.
Yeah.
And they've got other billionaires and millionaires around the world to basically do the same thing, to basically pledge, you know, you've made all this money, you know, now when you die, leave it to some charity and let it continue. Don't just give it to your dumb kids to so they can just ruin their lives.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That is
so
sadly
I just admire
what
that.
Happens.
It is. Well, and again, talking about Warren Buffett a little bit, he calls that corporate welfare. And he's exactly right. If you give kids millions or billions of dollars who basically worked in no way for it.
Yeah.
Is that not basically corporate welfare?
It is.
I mean, these are people that just won the genetic lottery. They did nothing to earn that money.
Yeah.
And there's no way possible they're going to value it, appreciate it.
Well,
there's no way.
Talking about family-owned businesses are usually dead by the third generation.
Right.
You know, and so many families are just, with generational wealth, just have nightmare issues.
Absolutely.
With their children.
So anyway, I like Warren Buffett, and I love this whole thing. And apparently the last only two or three years, and Yahoo Finance, smart for doing this, streamed it live, especially the question and answer session, which is about a 3 hour or so, maybe four, where Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, who anybody doesn't know, he's his right-hand man.
Yes.
They're basically partners in this thing. They sit up there and answer questions. People can get at a microphone and ask the richest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I mean, he'll tell you if it's, no, he can't talk about that. Or no, I can't tell you specific stock. I mean, he has limits.
Yeah.
But pretty much, you're picking the brain of a genius.
It was very, I enjoyed some of the question answer sessions because folks would get on the microphone and ask the most convoluted technical financial questions. And I was like, the fuck? I couldn't understand even the question they were answering.
And they didn't either.
And here are two guys that are some of the most book smart and common sense smart guys in the entire world. That is why they're there.
Yeah.
Okay. They have that combination.
Right.
And they've got an audience full of book smart people and they're trying to explain common sense to them. And it was just, sometimes it was just really painfully, it was like, I'm not that book smart, but I got the common sense. I can follow that. I would be really excited when I understood them.
Right. And there was a couple of those questions. You're exactly right. And Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, you could tell they weren't following it either.
Yeah.
And basically, they answered one of the questions like, look, there's no formula. There's no equation. We don't look at this, whatever, this fancy analytical, whatever you just described. We don't do that. We look at a whole spectrum of things and evaluating companies and what we pick. Like, you can't deduce it to one thing, one technique, one formula, one whatever. And then Charlie Munger chimed in. He said, if you want to learn a bunch of formulas that don't work, there's people graduating from business grad school all over the country. You can find all kinds of formulas that don't work. So again, it's a fancy way of saying you can be book smart all you want, but that's not how this works.
No.
Nobody can tell you.
Well, but they were saying over and over again, they were picking stocks, picking companies that produce a product.
You know, I've been picking up on that too.
Yeah. There's something tangible. It's not an intangible. It's a tangible product.
And I agree. I like that too. And the more you think about that, I've kind of stewed over that even since they've been talking. Even somebody like they're in a bit of I hate to say like a Twitter war or some tizzy. Apparently the earlier question and answer session, Warren Buffett said something to make Elon Musk upset. Something about his car or just something about being like one of Warren Buffett's things. He always uses it. A metaphor is a company has to have a moat. And he means like a castle and a moat. Like something that's protective, like a moat around your castle. Something that protects your business from competitors. Some competitive advantage you have. Something that your company does better than any other company.
That just sets you apart.
To build that moat.
Yeah.
And basically he was saying, I don't know how it came up, but you know, he was just saying that. I don't know. And somebody made some comment about Elon Musk
lately about making some.
Yeah, he's been making some
odd statements.
Odd statements anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he somehow took offense to, I don't know, maybe Warren Buffett just basically said, you know, his company doesn't have enough moat, you know, for my taste, or I'm not sure his company has a deep enough
moat for him.
Something. Yeah. Right. And he said something like, you know, I wouldn't want to get into his tech stuff, and he probably wouldn't want to get into, you know, competing with me on See's Candy.
Yeah.
Well, now Elon Musk has sent some kind of statement out that he's going to start a candy factory now just to show Warren Buffett that, you know, like, really? That's fucking dumb.
That's childish.
Childish and dumb, right?
I hope he's just having a really bad week. You know, he broke up with his girlfriend a few months ago. Maybe he's really having a bad few months.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, some good stuff out of that. He also is big on China. And you just never know what will come out of some of these things. But it's entertaining to me.
It was entertaining to me.
And it'll be, and you mark my words, within... Just like when they first started broadcasting like the NFL draft, and people were like, nobody's going to watch somebody get drafted, for God's sakes. And now
it's
just
a big deal. Yeah.
This will be sooner or later, but major companies will start doing this.
Yeah.
Or at a minimum, Berkshire Hathaway will keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because you've got people just like me who look up to him and just interested in financing and things like that, who,
or have money invested in some of these individual companies.
Right.
Want to know, you know, they can't be there, but you know, they have shares of Coca-Cola.
It's almost like a celebration of capitalism in a way. Okay. I mean, it just is. You go there, you're going to be there with 40,000 other people who are, like you said, they're invested in that, in Berkshire Hathaway, or they're just interested in business.
Mm-hmm.
It, something draws them there, just like it draws me there, to be mm-hmm. around other people like that.
Yeah, interesting.
Which, by the way, the other thing, too, which they mentioned, like when they speak, I mean, they're speaking to 40,000 people.
It's a hush.
It's a pin drop silence.
It's quieter than a church because they're not rattling papers and there aren't babies crying.
Hell no. I didn't hear one nothing.
Nope.
Once in a while, a little chuckle, a little whatever, but no.
But they were hanging on their words. It was interesting. It was fun to watch. That was crazy.
It was. It was pretty cool. All right. You ready to hear?
Yes.
A goofy ad from one of our Appalachian people running for something?
Yes.
Let's see. You want to set this up a little bit, who this guy is and all this
yes.
stuff, what he's running for?
All right. In West Virginia, where I am from, we used to have coal barons, people who owned major coal companies and were multi-millionaires, and they're just the bigwigs. And what they said went. They're like royalty because everybody who had a job in the area that paid well worked for them.
Right.
Period. Yeah.
It was almost like a, like you're just saying, it's almost like a Rockefeller 30s style weird kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like these people were well more, and I know
it's
every
like
town
Tony
has their
Soprano. Like when, like these guys are like Tony Soprano, like everybody just bows to them. They just, whatever they want, whatever they say, it goes. Well, one of these guys owned the mine that had the tragedy in Whitesville that killed the 19 miners.
Big Branch. Upper Big Branch mine.
Upper Big Branch.
He was CEO of Massey Energy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Massey?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure. I think it might have changed names.
They changed names yearly almost to avoid regulations and taxes.
Right. Well, he was CEO of the company
That owned the mine
where, what, 20-some miners were killed?
Yeah.
Which they prosecuted him personally.
For it.
Now, how often does a CEO of a company get prosecuted, first of all, for that? Not often. And he was convicted.
And went to jail for a year.
And went to jail for a year.
He is still under house arrest with the ankle bracelet. He's still, like, home confinement.
Right. I mean, they proved, and he was convicted, that he absolutely skirted all these safety violations that basically directly resulted in 20 people
dying.
Well,
now his story that he is spinning, and I've heard some of this, is that, and this works in West Virginia where we're dumb and racist, where they're saying, the Obama administration, Obama put so many regulations on me, and they're going after him directly as a scapegoat.
Right.
Like, so he's saying that it's Obama's fault that the miners died, and there are people drinking this Kool-Aid.
Well, he's running for
state senate.
State or federal?
Well, federal.
Yeah. He's running as a senator of West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah,
federally.
As a state senator.
And there's a primary with him and two other people.
Yes.
Who are Republicans. This will be for the Republican nomination for the senator.
All right. And if people don't, and people who aren't from West Virginia don't know this, West Virginia has been confused and backwards for about the last 30, 40 years. They have been the most rednecked, racist state, but they've been Democrats. And it wasn't until Donald Trump ran for office that they went, oh, I guess I'm a Republican. Like, we've had multiple people, you know, get elected as a Democrat and then switch to the Republican Party.
Well, and, you know, let's don't bash your state too bad.
There are still some great people in West Virginia.
Yeah, thank
yes.
you. Just so everybody hears that. And you're saying not everybody is racist and dumb. And come on, you're sitting here. So, but anyway.
It just hurts to see the crowds of people, though, and you can't speak out. Like, this is my one chance to speak out. Because
when I go
visit, everybody is, they're all sitting there with Fox News, and they're now sitting there nodding their heads at these political campaigns, and it's crazy.
Right. So now, and I will say this, I'm glad about this. The Republican Party in general, well, not in general, they don't want him because they think he's a laughingstock.
Yeah.
They don't want him to be the Republican nomination, much less if he, God forbid, won.
Yeah.
So they're running ads against him. Like the Republican Party is running ads. The National Republican Party
is running ads
against him.
He's just going to spin it so that he's so much of an outsider that they're attacking him like this, and he's going to go clean up Washington. This guy is crazy. Crazy.
Well, here is one of, and this guy's name, by, have we even said his name?
Don Blankenship.
Yes, here is his ad. I think I stopped this about the right spot.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten...
For China people. Did you catch that already?
Yeah.
Mitch is already...
And this is why I have problems with my home state.
He's talking about Mitch McConnell.
I know.
In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
If that wasn't real, you'd think it's a parody from Saturday Night Live.
And no, Saturday Night Live would do it better.
I would encourage any of our listeners to look that up on YouTube. Don Blankenship campaign ad.
Because I love being from West Virginia. You can always make fun of me for this.
His deadpan, it's like he's acting. It's brilliant. Oh, it's so funny. Come on, this is gold.
Oh, it's so bad.
And he's standing in front of a greenhouse.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ah, it's
you know,
funny
I bet
and
that's
painful.
As far from his house as he can get right now. I don't think.
Well, and they ran this story. Twitter went crazy about it, as they should, because it is ridiculous. Another thing he's running on is I'm a West Virginian, a local West Virginia guy, you know, that kind of shtick.
Yeah.
He apparently lives in a $10 million mansion just outside of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's his residence.
Yeah.
He technically has a home in West Virginia is why he's allowed to run. But
yeah, but.
The whole thing is so ridiculous. And he's going to win. I keep telling you, well, we'll see. He's going to win. I'm just going to tell you because I believe your home state will just, in a weird way, piss everybody else off. Like they do that.
They are the most
they'll vote for the candidate.
Spiteful will do. Yeah. They will drink poison. Despite you.
Yes.
It's Hatfields and McCoys.
Yep. When we had one of our offices in West Virginia a few years ago, when Hillary Clinton was running, somehow, I may be getting some of this story wrong, but I'll get the gist of it right. Literally a guy in prison filled out the right paperwork to get himself on the ballot for running against Hillary as the president nomination something in West Virginia.
And they elected him.
Her or whoever. Him. Whoever. Yeah. I mean, they voted and it was the primary.
Yeah.
It was, and yeah, your choice was Hillary Clinton or John Doe, whoever, Joe Blow.
Yeah.
And everybody knew because it'd been in news all over the place that, this guy's in prison and he got enough. He did the paperwork and he's technically on the ballot and blah, blah, blah.
And this is a joke. And they still. Yeah.
Yes. They voted enough like as a protest vote against Hillary and he won the whatever in West Virginia. Or if he didn't win, he got an enormous amount more than people thought. It made national news.
Yeah. And as a laughing stock.
As a laughing stock.
West Virginia does that to themselves.
And I had patients come in that were just so proud the next day. Like, did you see that? We made the news. That's a protest vote. I hope the whole world sees what we did. And I'm like, what do you think's going to happen?
You're a moron.
Yeah, they think you're an idiot, and the whole state's an idiot. What do you think's going to happen now? You know, she didn't win, but I said, well, what's going to happen now if Hillary wins? You think she's going to be wanting to help West Virginia
exactly.
in any way?
And like, our poor senator.
Like, come on. People.
And I'm going to.
Got to use a little common sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just. Oh.
Well, this political season is crazy.
It is.
And maybe some of them, maybe we're seeing crazies. Maybe there's some really good people that are coming out, too, that would have never come out. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But the crazies make the news.
Yeah, and this is probably the craziest in the entire country. Well, that and there's a Nazi running for something in California. Thank you, California. I appreciate it.
Well, anyway, yeah, that's funny to watch.
Yeah.
I have been, what else have I got on here? I've been listening to a group.
You have.
I kind of got you into it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a little bit of a group called, a sample of it, of course. Can't play everything. Greta Von Fleet. God knows where they got that name.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Greta Von Fleet. I heard of it from a friend who said, basically, if you like Led Zeppelin, 70s rock, like, this is the new version of that. Like, this is the new, this is coming back, and these guys are leading the way. I'm like, oh, thank, you know, I'm grasping that like a drowning dude for a life preserver. Like, really? There's some classic,
not happy with music.
There's some classic rock, something that might actually, like, late, you know, 70s rock. And by hell, I'll have to say, they're right. I'm going to play a little bit of this video of Greta Von
Fleet. I'm
here
to prove the purple mattress blows memory.
Of course,
the commercial.
Of course, once I can skip the commercial, that's okay. Build suspense. How old does this kid look when I say kid?
Oh, well, that 15. He doesn't look old enough to drive. Maybe old enough to drive, but just barely.
Listen to that voice.
And he's got the confidence of Jim Morrison.
Yes.
And everybody in the band does.
They all look young, don't they?
Yeah, they're babies.
Yeah, they look high school.
They are babies. And if that's the people playing the music on, you know, the recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing.
I let the chorus play. Or that riff. That's a great guitar riff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's that one.
Very impressed. Okay, play next
one. All right. This one is,
the same one.
That was a highway tune, by the way. The other one is Black Smoke Rising.
Yeah. Harsh guitars.
Yeah. And this is a double album, by the way. Very Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah.
You like this one better than me. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, grew on me. I think it sounds kind of Janis Joplin.
It does. The other one that I really like, I'm going to play one more.
All right.
It's that, let me think of the name of it. Because the name does not have anything to do with the song, I don't think. That's it. Safari song. I don't know why they're on a safari. I don't think they even say the word safari.
Where I come from, the world
and here comes the whole thing. Commercial.
Yes. Oh, well. Build a little suspense. Here we go. Safari song. I want to let it get to the chorus because I like the... They harmonize a little bit on one word in particular.
Yeah, this is so Led Zeppelin.
This one definitely is Led Zeppelin as much as possible. Yeah, keep in mind, these guys literally look 15.
Yeah.
Literally.
They may be like baby early 20s. That's as old as they can possibly
be. They couldn't be more than... Yeah.
No, they couldn't. Not when these videos were made.
That is a bad ass. I just love that. I mean, yeah. I really genuinely like that song a lot.
Good.
And scrolling through the comments, of course, you see, is this Led Zeppelin? This kicks ass. You know, fucking Led Zeppelin 2.0 up in here. None of them are over 20. I'm very impressed. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Maybe
they really are. We're just guessing. We haven't.
Maybe yeah. Comstar 642 is right. That's what he says. He says none of them are over 20. Okay.
Yeah. They're babies. But they sound amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of comments on stuff like that. So that's Greta Van Fleet. And locally, there's a music festival playing here. In the fall, I'm helping put together, actually, for our local community people. These guys are already $60,000 a show.
Wow.
To get them to come to your town is $60,000. Plus other shit, by the way. That's the basics.
The basics.
I'm sure that cover, you also have to, room. Right. You've got to probably pay for their...
Travel, lodging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably drinks, food while they're here, that kind of stuff. Golly. So, Greta Van Fleet, for what it's worth.
Awesome.
If you're looking for some new music, you could do a lot worse than that, right?
Oh, definitely. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What else you got?
What else do I have? Well, I don't know if you're a big fan of Devo or not, or back in the day. Everybody's heard Whip It.
Everybody's heard Whip It.
You know, it's that real synthesizer-y. You know how it sounds.
Mm-hmm. They're like...
They were kind of groundbreaking in the 70s, you think about it.
They're like techno-punks.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Kind of techno or... What's the stuff that Nine Inch Nails is called?
Industrial?
Right, like industrial techno something. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't almost be considered inventors of that in a way.
Maybe. I don't know.
Or at least one led to them.
They were definitely cutting edge of that. Well, they were doing something nobody else was.
Well, they have songs on way more than just Whip It. They have a bunch of songs on YouTube that's worth looking up.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Not bad. Just type
you
in Devo.
You fell down the YouTube
I have. I've been using YouTube a lot more, way more than... ever before. I don't know. It's now that I'm seeing that you can comment on things, and it's really very interactive, way more than I thought. Like, I used to just get up, look up a video, get on, look up a video, get off. But like I said, it's very entertaining to pull up a video of something and then stream that to our television, so you can watch it on a big screen.
Yeah. And you've been doing that a lot. Yeah.
And then look at your phone for the comments, because there's always some funny, insightful comments on the video you're watching. Just like we just saw. This guy says that they're all under 20 years old. He's probably right.
Yeah.
I am liking YouTube a lot lately.
Oh, neat.
And Devo is a decent search. If you're halfway into 70s, I don't know, 70s techno, I guess, because it's almost the beginning of it. I wonder if I could.
70s techno.
How long
techno.
I could. I won't pull it up right now. But anyway, they're up there.
He's been enjoying it.
Yes, I have. Here's a little sample. I do have this one. Here, listen a little bit of this. That's a remake of that song. I kind of like that.
All I can do is look at you dumbfounded. They unfortunately can't hear that.
You should see the video to this, by the way.
Hank, this is from the same person, though, that loves, what is that? Could you wear your outfit and eat that snack cracker for me?
Yeah, I do like that.
I laugh about my taste in music. Yours is crazy.
I do like funny songs. I do have a soft spot for that. Who is that? Southern culture on the skids.
Yeah.
Walk like a camel.
Okay.
God, that's good. You're right. You're following my train of thought exactly.
Yeah.
I'll like this.
Yes. If that train goes choo 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 right off the crazy cliff.
Yep. You're 100% right. I had an idea for somebody. I'm going to copyright. This is copyright Hillbilly Nerd Talk.
2018.
That's right.
Episode 200.
May 6th. All right. It's got to be cheap to do this. You buy the rights to two old, quote, cult classic, quote.
Uh-huh.
Which we've talked about it. A cult classic movie is another way to say it's so fucking awful that somebody enjoys it being so awful. But it's awful. Okay? They're awful movies.
Yeah. They're outdated.
Okay.
They're things that,
All right. You get somebody and buy the rights to two cult classic movies.
And by this, you mean old, like, monster.
I'm talking about, like, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Okay.
All right. You get the royalties or whatever rights.
Uh-huh.
To remake Killer Clowns from Outer Space versus like Rocky Horror Picture Show or something. Maybe Rocky Horror is a little too, because it's almost, but you get my idea.
Yeah,
you get two of them and you combine them into one versus
like
the other.
Like Tremors versus Killer Clowns.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Tremors versus Killer Clowns. Yes. Something like that.
Where were you and what were you doing when this idea came to you?
And then you have a new cult classic. At a minimum, it'll be so awful. It'll be the mega of cult classics.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I'm on to something here.
He is. That would be pretty funny.
You know what?
We went and watched Rampage a couple of weeks ago.
Hell yeah.
It was fun. Feel dirty saying that. It was fun to watch.
So, I am sticking by that doofy idea. Somebody go do that. Here's another one, too. I'll tell you guys this one. I'm giving our fans all kinds of pseudo homework. It's not really homework. It's suggestions, but specifically if you're on YouTube. So, if you're on YouTube, give it the program. All right, here's...
You're so bossy.
I am bossy tonight. Our fans like it. All right. Go to YouTube, type in the word fan video, and then fill in the blank for the next word. And make it something like a music song that you really like. It's a really classic that everybody knows. For example, film or a fan video Time by Pink Floyd. boom, you will open Pandora's box of people who have made some videos back in the day before MTV, before bands even put videos out. Like once in a while, you'll find a promotional.
Yeah.
It's a promotional thing that they made for the record company only that really wasn't meant to be seen by the public. Or maybe they played in a record store, but the point is,
but it wasn't on television until MTV.
Right. And they're very rare. Like they only did that with the song that they knew from that album was going to
be the hit.
So for example, like that Pink Floyd, the song Time, first of all, it's one of my favorite songs, but there is a fan video to that song that is phenomenal. I mean, it is high quality. There's acting, and then there's these cuts to this psychedelic stuff in there that's fits the song. They couldn't have made a video any better than this.
Dang. I'll have to watch that.
But you can do that with anything.
Yeah.
Whatever your favorite song is, fan video, One Night in Bangkok. There will be somebody has a video to it. And some of them are goofy and dumb, of course, and whatever. But it's pretty entertaining. It's a good search.
We'll have to do some more of that.
I even looked up, I tried to look up some, not obscure, but like I looked up Van Halen, Dance the Night Away. Fan video, Van Halen, Dance the Night Away. Tell them what came up.
A ridiculously sexy Harley Quinn dance-a-thon.
Yeah, like four or five Harley Quinns.
Yeah, it was.
Doing some choreography, whatever, goofy, but the production value was okay. They were, whatever.
Yeah, it was really odd. It was an odd video.
Yeah. So I just think it's funny. So there you go.
All right.
I'm giving everybody some stuff there. All right, where can people...
Everybody can find us at...
There might be a few more tidbits here, but
HillbillyNerdTalk.com.
HillbillyNerdTalk.com.
Yes.
Yes.
From there, they can follow your Twitter. You're pretty active on there. You're on Facebook every now and then, and my Pinterest.
Yeah, I've been slacking on Twitter a little bit, to be honest. I've been on, honestly, YouTube
been on
a little
YouTube.
More. They need to advertise on this show. They kind of are. I'm advertising for free. Damn it.
Yes.
They're suckering me.
They sure are, because we're talking about them. Oh, well.
But, I'm on Twitter some. There are some really clever accounts out there I'm following right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you read some of them so that...
I haven't gotten completely into Twitter.
Yeah, well, you
want to hear something funny?
You like reading things? I feel like you would like it. Anyway.
Yeah. I have a funny confession.
Confess.
I've been following this goofy royal wedding stuff.
The royal wedding, really?
Yeah, I've always loved the Queen. I think she reminds me of Nana. She really does.
Of a little old lady from Southern West Virginia,
yes,
really.
She does. She does. Except she's marvelous. I mean, really, I love Queen Elizabeth. And it's odd, you know, the kids have grown up in the spotlight. Now it's like, oh my God, I remember when these little boys were born and they're getting married and it's cute.
It's kind of the ultimate soap opera. You chicks definitely dig it more than us guys.
Weird, but you know, they're celebrities for just being in some weird way.
They are. It's just exactly what we just talked about. That's why I don't care for it.
But actually do serve a diplomatic role, so.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, this corporate welfare, just being born, you're the king, queen of England. But you're right. They are ambassadors.
Yeah.
They do work, period. I mean, I think you've seen some of their schedule. I've seen it printed somewhere. I mean, these people get up like 6 a.m. and go till midnight doing shit constantly.
Yep.
As ambassadors of their country. So they do.
They do. Forgive my little...
Well, no, not forgive. I'm just saying I can see their kind of function a little more than I used to could.
Appalachian word.
That's a definite Appalachian right there. Used to could. But anyway, I seriously can. Back in the day, I'm like, it's dumb there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they have a purpose, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm with it. You got anything else to add to this glorious 200th episode?
Not tonight.
200.
200 episodes.
How about that?
That's 200 hours we've been forced to talk to each other.
Think about that, because they are about an hour.
Dun, dun.
It's 200 hours of us talking
of, like,
to each other.
Of, like, therapy.
Kind of.
It is. Yeah.
I enjoy it, and I enjoy our listeners. We have some great.
We do. We have some funny listeners.
You know, we might not have millions and millions, but we have fun people that follow us. And
five or six.
To both of you people out there, we appreciate you, both of you. No, it is fun to put something out and to know somebody's kind of getting some entertainment out of it.
At least laughing at your ass.
Laughing at you, with you, whatever they're doing. They're doing something.
I've been awful tonight. I'm rotten. Well, all right.
Well, let's get off here, Miss Petra. Give us a good sign off.
All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week or two.